Chapter 47. I have tried to put some connection into the various things Captain Nichols told me about Strickland, and I here set them down in the best order I can. They made one another's acquaintance during the latter part of the winter following my last meeting with Strickland in Paris. How he'd passed the intervening months, I do not know. But life must have been very hard, for Captain Nichols saw him first in the Asile de Nuit. There was a strike at Marseille at the time, and Strickland, having come to the end of his resources, had apparently found it impossible to earn the small sum he needed to keep body and soul together. The Asile de Nuit is a large stone building where pauper and vagabond may get a bed for a week, provided their papers are in order and they can persuade the friars in charge that they are working men. Captain Nichols noticed Strickland for his size and his singular appearance among the crowd that waited for the doors to open. They waited listlessly, some walking to and fro, some leaning against the wall, and others seated on the curb with their feet in the gutter. And when they filed into the office, he heard the monk who read his papers address him in English. But he did not have a chance to speak to him, since as he entered the common room, a monk came in with a huge Bible in his arms, mounted a pulpit which was at the end of the room, and began the service which the wretched outcasts had to endure as the price of their lodging. He and Strickland were assigned to different rooms, and when thrown out of bed at 5 in the morning by a stalwart monk, he'd made his bed and washed his face, Strickland had already disappeared. Captain Nichols wandered about the streets for an hour of bitter cold, and then made his way to the Place Victor Gelu, where the sailormen are wont to congregate. Dozing against the pedestal of a statue, he saw Strickland again. He gave him a kick to awaken him.